Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Refugee Act was signed into law by President Jimmy Carter in 1980, created to help victims of conflicts. In the last fiscal year, the U.S. admitted 22,491 refugees from more than 60 countries, one of the lowest amounts on record. And most of those admitted came from the Middle East and Africa. For instance, about 3 years ago, when the Democratic Republic of Congo in Central Africa was plunged in a two-decade-long civil war, Francois Elise and Iluta Shabani and their families sought refugee status in Texas. They're now both students at the Margaret Long Wisdom High School in Houston, and we wanted to see how they're faring. Hint, better than they might be because of a soccer field and a great nonprofit. They are at KUHF in Houston. Iluta, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Francois, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and do I understand Francois, born in Congo, now 18, and Iluta, born in a refugee camp?
Yeah, Tanzania refugee camp.
And you're now 17, both affected by the war in Congo, and both have come across somebody named Charles Rotrammel, who coaches you both. Charles, are you there?
I am.
Talk first, Charles, about Revision, which is your nonprofit. What does your group do?
So Revision is a program that works with disconnected youth. So we're always trying to build kinship with young people who might not experience that otherwise, which is what draws us into the juvenile justice system. It draws us into the foster care system. And it drew us to create a soccer field.
And it eventually drew you into the huge refugee community in Houston. And to Francois and Iluta. Francois, start with you. Iluta, you can chime in. What does a soccer field mean to you?
Soccer field is like my home.
It's even more than a home to me, yeah.
Why? Explain why. Is that Francois?
Yes, ma'am.
Explain why.
For me, soccer itself is a really big passion to me. Since I started playing when I was five, I was pushed towards something really important, and that was soccer.
Well, and Iluta, I can't imagine, when you came to this country, again, born in a refugee camp in Tanzania, can you explain how strange this country must have felt to you? You said the soccer field looked like home to you, but compared to what? Like, what are some of the things that were so strange to you?
We didn't used to see buildings like that.
Yeah.
Every time, till you go to town, maybe. That wasn't familiar. Sometimes you have to walk from far away. We didn't have no bass. You might see a car, but to have a car over there, you have to be really, really rich. You have to have a lot of money.
Yeah. So here you're seeing cars and buses and huge buildings. And then in the middle of all of this, a soccer field. So, Charles, it sounds as if this became a magnet for young people like Francois and Iluta.
Right. So we opened on Sunday after church, and we said, any high school age soccer player, just come and play pickup games on the field. And a lot of young men came who are from the same background that Iluta and Francois are from.
And you also, I'm sure, have other children of immigrants, probably Latinos, Houston?
Absolutely.
What's this mix like?
It's just created this magical chemistry because they don't all come from the same country. They didn't all grow up together. They don't all even all speak the same languages. But we have this bond that I've never experienced before.
Iluta, I understand that, again, you were born in a refugee camp. Your mom's in a wheelchair. Disabled during the civil war in Congo. How are you helping out at home?
I'll be helping her do a lot of stuff when I'm home. Sometimes I help her to cook, clean the house, and do some other stuff.
Translate?
Translate, yeah, English. Sometimes when she go to some offices, because she don't speak English, I help her translate.
I'm imagining there's been a lot of stress for you. Living in a refugee camp, you know, striking out in the U.S. as refugees. What do you feel like when you're out on the soccer field? Does it feel like a different you?
True, you feel like different me because anytime, even when you're walking, you might be going to the store, even if you see a lot of things looking like a boy, I'm going to just start kicking it. I'm going to start imagining like I'm in the soccer field.
If anything that looks like a ball.
We're always trying to play like something that looks with the ball.
Always trying to score with like a box in the street.
Yes, true.
But in your native countries, Francois, didn't you use things like wadded up tape and stuff for soccer balls?
Yes, ma'am.
So this comes natural to you. Francois, I want to ask you something, too, that we're hearing, that when you're on the soccer field, some of the other teams can be cruel.
Yes.
Why? What happens?
To be honest, as soon as we step in the park of the field, every person on that park, they start looking at us. I don't know what's wrong with that, but we don't pay attention on them. We keep moving to what we came there to do.
Well, Charles, I understand that one match got particularly ugly. I mean, people are yelling not just racial epithets, but in a couple of occasions you've had players and parents talking, you know, yelling things about these kids being refugees.
Yes, that unfortunately happens quite a bit. And there was a particular game, it was a final of a tournament, where the players and the parents were just being really very racist in what they were saying. It was very emotional for all of us because it's hard to know what to do in that situation.
What do you tell your kids?
Well, honestly, Robin, that day I was very emotional at the end of that game. And I brought the kids over into a circle. We typically meet in a circle after the game. And I just said, this should never happen, but it does. This is America, and there is racism. And that doesn't mean that it's right. It's not right. But unfortunately, this is the reality that we all live in.
Well, on the other hand, Francois and Iluta, I understand you've also seen some of the good that can happen in this country. Dick's Sporting Goods awarded money to keep the soccer team afloat for a few years because I guess Revision was struggling.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What did you think when that happened? Like, I think it was $120,000.
That was a great donation to us because at that time, like mostly every player didn't know what to do because some of us were already affected with the Harvey and stuff.
By Hurricane Harvey, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they didn't know what to do. All they could think of is come together, be around each other and giving hope.
Charles, what do you do with that money?
We've been able to get a van that gets us to and from games and practices. It's allowed us to go out of town. So we've taken some trips to San Antonio and actually to Missouri to play soccer games and have college coaches take a look at our players. It actually allowed us to get six of our players onto a college team in the fall. And it really it continues to allow us to feed the kids, which is really, really important. Food insecurity is a huge issue for a lot of our players. And so every time that we're together for practices or games, we're able to feed them.
Yeah. Well, talk about the college part. Iluta, you're a year younger, but Francois, you know, you're applying for college next year. Soccer, I hear what it's doing for you. It reminds you of home. It makes you feel great about yourself, you know, athletic and out there, all good. But is this also something that's you think is a pathway to your future?
Yes, it is. It's helping me discover what I want to do in college and stuff.
So it's a pathway to college. Also, Iluta, I understand it's a pathway out of neighborhoods that may not be safe. You know a thing or two about things that aren't safe, having lived in a refugee camp. But tell me about that part of it.
My neighborhood, some shooting be happening.
Yeah.
It was this night. We was sleeping and I started hearing gunshot outside. And I was a little bit scared because it might come through the window.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm good because I don't be there all the time. Right. I'll be on the soccer field every time because I spend a lot of my time in school and soccer.
Charles, this is the goal, correct? To keep people on a different path.
Absolutely. The reason that we wanted to start this team, honestly, was because, A, we saw the potential, the talent that they had, and, B, you know, the pressures of the neighborhood were starting to get to some of our players. There's a lot of gangs in the area, and some of those gangs were starting to put pressure on some of the players to join them or hang out with them, smoke weed. And we just didn't want to see that trajectory happen because these kids can make it on the soccer field.
Well, meantime, you guys, I hear, are good. Francois, you're the team captain. Are you guys good?
Yes, ma'am, we are.
Tell me, what have you won?
In Texas, we ranked like third.
Third place.
What?
We ranked in third place in Texas.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa. So yeah. Third in the state. You should be proud.
Yes, ma'am, we are.
We was proud.
Yeah. Well, we wish you the best of luck. And thank you so much for talking to us.
No problem.
No problem, miss.
Thank you.
François-Elise, Iluta Shabani, refugees from Africa living in Houston, and their soccer coach Charles Rotramel from the nonprofit Revision. The whole soccer team will play in the South Texas State Cup competition beginning in March, running through the end of May. Best of luck.